Okay, I'm going to ask you the question of the day. You ready for the question of the day?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope I can answer it. I did on our CPR course. I wrote the date down as the date, but my birth year. So I'm like, okay.
You got some pregnancy brain
and
going
it,
on?
It's happening. Okay. Little things here and there.
So this is the question of the day. It's a would you rather. You have to pick, have to pick one or the other.
Okay.
All right? So you have to either eat a live tarantula the size of my hand.
Okay.
Okay. You can kill it, but you can't let any of the juices out. You got to eat the whole thing.
Okay.
Or, and I think this is really interesting because I've asked everyone in the office, and it's really interesting. Or you have to eat a salmon that has been put in a gallon jar, sealed, and then put out in the sun for a week and let it just ferment and get all grimy and gross. You got to eat the same amount of salmon as the spider, or you got to eat the spider.
I'd eat the spider.
Really?
I absolutely hate spiders, but being pregnant, nothing has grossed me out this pregnancy more. And I make salmon for my son. I can barely stand the smell of salmon. So,
I guess it's a delicacy like in Tonga to do stuff like this,
no.
Or like, Samoa. But they say when you open that, it is like the worst stench you've ever smelled.
No, I'll eat that spider all day long. I'll crunch it up.
I'm taking the salmon.
You're taking the salmon.
I'm taking the salmon. And here's the crazy part. It's like a 50-50. In fact, Kinsey in the office, who is deathly afraid of spiders, like even the littlest one.
Yeah.
She picked the spider over the salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
at least the spider wouldn't smell. I mean, it would smell, but not like that salmon would. And I don't think I could choke that salmon down.
Okay, so here's the other
question. Fresh salmon already is too much for me.
One more question of the day.
Okay.
In 1 year, you're going to pass away. You're going to die. You're going to die.
Oh, long. Don't make me cry.
You're going to die.
Okay.
You're going to die.
Okay.
You know the date you're going to die.
Okay.
And you get to pick the outfit that you're going to wear in the casket while people go by.
Okay.
What are you wearing?
Well, I like to be comfortable all the time, and I have very few clothes or outfits. I have about 3 or 4 things I rotate through, so it would be really easy for someone to pick. But it would be like black joggers and some sort of a loose-fitting t-shirt. And my Birkenstocks.
Okay, so I picked a G-string, and I would be upside down and so I can moon people for the rest of eternity.
Yeah. What color is your G-string?
Gold, for sure.
Gold.
For sure. Gold. Sorry.
Well, that'll stand out on your white arse.
I don't know. I agree with you. I want to be cremated.
I do too.
I really do.
I do too.
And in fact, so... My best horse ever,
yeah.
Jasper, we cremated him. And it's kind of cool because I got all of his ashes. It's like a 3-gallon bucket of ashes. It's a lot.
Oh, wow.
And I take him with me whenever I go out into the mountains.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. No, I'd like to be cremated too. And it's way less expensive.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's kind of, I don't know. I understand the point of having a memorial. And maybe a spot for a memorial, but at least with my belief of what happens to us, I don't think it matters.
I don't really think so either. But okay. I do expect my family to keep me on a very nice shelf somewhere.
Exactly, that is,
and true. I want to be seen every day. So that's the more important question.
Well, and to be thought of.
Yeah, I want a little shrine. In the house somewhere.
What do you want to be known for not next year, but like you live a long life. Like, okay, let's say you're in your 90s. You're 102 before you pass away.
Okay.
What do you want to be truly known for?
As a good mom. That's all that matters when it comes down to it.
That's awesome.
My number one priority. I mean, I would love to impact... our field and do a lot of things career-wise.
But really, that's secondary,
but
isn't it?
When it comes down to it, you want to go down as a rock star mom.
Yeah.
That would be the only comment that would mean anything to me is that, you know, how great of a mom I was, or that's what would be, mean the most.
From what I see, you're doing a phenomenal job.
Thanks, Lon. It's a lot of work, but it's
worth it. I'm going to tell you this. Being a grandparent's better than being a parent.
Even. You can't even imagine.
It's amazing.
I'll probably be too old to be a grandparent. But
no, you won't.
Maybe.
No. I had my grandkids in today, and I was actually, we were doing some work. We were actually scanning Margaret to be able to get going on some expansion.
Okay. And how old is she?
4.
Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. She's 4 years old. She did. You know what's amazing is, and I think a lot of people are worried about the impression material that we have to use now with the scanners.
Oh, it's so easy.
3 and 4 year olds can do it. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
She did fantastic.
And we use big scanners.
Yeah.
They even have new ones that are even smaller now. Every year they come out. It's like the iPhone.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Better and better all the time. No, quicker, faster, smaller.
She did so good, and she's actually excited about it. So yeah, I want to start the podcast.
Kids really, really like it. And with the system we use, you know, it's fun because my niece, she just turned 5. But they, every week when they scan, they get a little badge on the app, and that's very meaningful to them.
Oh, wow.
So when you scan your teeth every week with your phone and like, hey, you wore your aligners, or you can move to the next one, you get a badge. And that's very enticing for a kiddo.
How long has your niece been in her aligners?
I think about 5 or 6 weeks.
And how is she doing with it?
Oh, so good. My sister says she can already floss her teeth. My niece says, what does it hurt when you floss my teeth anymore? Because her teeth were so crowded and tight together. So
has she noticed any behavioral differences?
Oh, she's been, everything's been night and day different. So we got tonsils and adenoids out, which was huge.
Sure. Now that her airways opened up.
Yes. And then we did the tongue tie release. So she's still working with a myofunctional therapist and SLP. Because she's compensated for so long, she's a lot of her jaw when she talks, but I can already tell a huge difference in her speech. So, and has only been a month ago.
Yeah, so that's not that long.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. But my sister said she sleeps through the night, no more like waking and screaming and sleep terrors and in our bed. And she's just, and even Dottie said, I slept really good last night.
So
she told my mom that.
Oh, wow.
Grammy, I slept really good last night.
So her own sleep hygiene probably is affecting like her ADD, ADHD, all of that.
Oh, so much. You know, and the emotional part of it too, right? When you can just tell a kid's tired, and now having a kid myself, when he's acting crazy, like biting me or tantrums or whatever it is, I'm like, you're tired. You're a little tired mess. You know, when kids are tired, they just, it comes out. The devil comes out.
Well, it's not just kids, us too.
Us too. I think adults are a little different, right? We respond in that like sluggish, or we drink a ton of caffeine.
Well, I was just going to say,
maybe we're irritable. Yeah. And we medicate.
We medicate with caffeine to be able to get through the day, but then we crash and then we have our ups and downs throughout the workday.
Yeah.
So I had a patient come in today. I thought it was really interesting. He actually was from, where was he? Oh, California. So he had moved here. He's working on the big Meta site. He's one of the engineers.
Oh, yeah.
And he came to me because he was looking for a dentist, but then he was looking at, he had a bunch of sleep stuff done in California. And he had the night lays done on his throat. Which we have, and he was looking for a provider to do the night lays. And so he goes, it was incredible for him, and for 6 months it worked, and then it kind of just dissipated. Night lays is utilizing a laser technology to be able to go in the back of the throat, and you actually have to heat it up, and then you are shrinking the tissue. And so I told him about using the Deccan to be able to go in, and it's a much faster, much better treatment. He was so excited. And so once I told him about that and told him the difference in that the quiet night was better than the night lays, he was all over it. But I remember him saying something to me as I was going through, and then I told him about Breathe Airway. He's a referral. He's going to be coming. By the way, his palate was one of the biggest I've actually seen. He was 46 millimeters.
That is probably the biggest palate. Ever.
He was huge.
Yeah.
It was massive, but he has a class 4 tongue tie.
Interesting, right? How that happens?
Yeah. So he had a super, super tied tongue. Hold on. Is this me? Guess who? It's Justin. Okay. Of course. But anyways, so what he said was that how much depression he was going through.
Okay.
Because he just simply could not sleep.
Okay.
He also was talking about what it was affecting. He was affecting his work, his cognitive behavior. He recognized within himself he had to do something. And I said, so, well, tell me your experience. He had a sleep study done.
Mm-hmm.
The sleep study was he definitely had sleep apnea. He had tried everything. He had tried CPAP. He goes, I tried it one time and it pushed on my face so much. I simply will never use that again.
Yeah.
He tried a mandibular advancement device.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, and when he explained to me, it was too much material. I said that ProSomnus could potentially be an option for you. And he goes, I have no interest in putting a wire down my neck. So he started going through all of this, but then you could truly see kind of the depression that mm-hmm. he was going through. Do you see that with some of the patients that you deal with?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's been going on for such a long time, right? Think of like how many years go by of having poor quality sleep, where your hormones might get off, where you just are not functioning, you know, and that might, it's kind of a domino effect, right? So you're tired, maybe you don't do well on tests or you're not perform the way you want to, and then that makes you depressed. Say, that's why you can't say just like sleep apnea causes depression, right?
Right, right.
But there are some things physiologically that go on where there's more cortisol release, there's adrenal fatigue, things that happen, but then to kind of link it to other things, maybe you procrastinate, maybe you're tired so you don't, you know, wake up and you're not productive. Like that impacts your psyche and your mental health when you're not well rested in other ways I think people don't think about. And, you know, if it started from childhood, if you had really bad sleep, maybe you didn't do well in school, or they said you have behavioral issues, your child has behavioral issues. Well, it's because they have such poor quality sleep, but they get misdiagnosed, right? All the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And misunderstood of what's really going on. And then they end up as a teenager, and then, you know, it just snowballs.
Yeah, in
over
fact,
time.
So one of the, I thought it was really interesting. Everybody talks about all these ways, especially for men, to be able to increase their testosterone. Because testosterone, even in 20-year-olds, is just absolutely plummeting. And
oh, interesting.
And they don't even know why. Mm-hmm. They've looked at the, like a 20-year-olds, 20 and 30-year-old men, and they're 60, 70-year-old men have more testosterone than 20 and 30-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that from? Is it from the things that we're eating, the potential pesticides? They're looking at all the different mm-hmm. of potential problems. I think it's one thing. And I think not one thing, I think it's a lot of things, but I think a big contributor to that is sleep.
Yeah.
So what they've looked at is that
I agree.
I mean, you start to look at going, okay, cold baths, all these different modalities to increase your testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've shown is the number one most important thing for testosterone mm-hmm. is sleep.
Is sleep.
So now think of a young man in his 20s,
mm-hmm.
okay? So let's just say a typical young man in his 20s, and let's say he's like 22 years old. He most likely he's going to be in college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He might have a job. When he gets home, it's going to be potentially video games until
screen time
until potentially midnight, 1 o'clock. Horrible sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
Then we also know that most likely he's going to be a mouth breather.
Mm-hmm.
So that with sleep that he does get, it's going to be 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And he does that night after night after night after night.
And pounding caffeine.
Oh, and then
which we know stays in your system forever.
Yeah.
It's a horrible cycle.
So that's going to kill their testosterone.
Right.
And so, okay, it has to do the same thing for women.
Oh, women, we're all over the map, right? We got hormones, depending on wherever you're at. It is crazy. And it's really not addressed enough, women's hormones. And if you go to a private medical place, even my mom went and just had her hormones tested and like really in-depth labs drawn, you know, to see what levels you're at. That's just not our normal. You'd have to go to a specialist for that kind of thing, right? That doesn't take insurance. It's super expensive. And women's hormones change constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
So have you seen any patients that have been treated where it's been a huge impact on their lives?
Yeah, absolutely. They feel like they sleep better, less anxiety. You know, they're doing other things like body work. They're doing like the whole package too of wellness, right? It's not just the one component of sleep. So,
well, and that's the thing. I think most people have this conception that, okay, if I just get this mouthpiece or whatever else.
Right. Just to get a mandibular advancement, I'm better. Just a tongue tie solves everything.
Or a CPAP.
Right.
It's going to solve everything. It's a combination of all.
And most people start to pick up on that, right? Like it's kind of when you start your journey to wellness, you then want to start eating better. You then pick up, okay, maybe I will go see a chiropractor. Maybe I will go do some body work and I'm going to take care of my mental state this way, or I'm going to have better sleep hygiene. They start to pick at things where they start to improve.
Yeah. And we see even within the sleep realm, somebody might start out with a CPAP and go, okay, what's the next thing that I can progress to? Well, it might be a mandibular advancement device that holds the jaw forward. Then it's, okay, I want to actually a treatment. What's the treatment phase?
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment phase of expansion, myofunctional therapy, potentially tongue revision, that it absolutely can happen with patients as they go down, because it truly is a journey. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
It is. We're complex. And you got to remember when we're looking at ourselves at our age, you know, we're older, we have a lot of things to unpack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it only gets worse.
Yes. So.
Yeah. So the earlier intervention, the better.
Definitely the better.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's why. So let's talk about that. And that's, I mean, I've got this 4-year-old granddaughter.
Uh-huh.
She's coming in. We are truly seeing if we can, which we call kind of the golden time, is between what ages that we would love to see patients?
I would say as soon as we can do anything, 4 to 6, as soon as before we start having permanent teeth come in.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as treating expansion issues.
Yeah, start that process. Between 4, even maybe up to 7, depending on where they're at in their
exfoliation. But if you can catch them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, ideally, right?
Before even the permanent teeth, that would be ideal.
Yeah, because you see, you know, by age 2, you have all the teeth that are in typically. And you can tell, are they going to be crowded? Do they have leeway space? They should have leeway space. You know, you can start with little things like eating harder foods and better habits, I guess, just easy stuff.
How were you as a kid?
For what? For everything? I was a good kid. I was an angel child.
How were you with your sleep habits? Do you know?
You know, I don't know, but I do have a lot of photos where I'm like.
Mouth open,
eyes like half rolled back. So I do have some photos that. I look a little horrifying.
But no reports of you having ADD or any of that, those issues.
Mm-mm.
So one of the things with me as a kid was I had a bedwetting issue.
Okay.
All the way up until 10. My dad would have to wake me up every night, take me to the bathroom.
Wow.
If he didn't do that, mm-hmm. then I'd wet the bed. It was bad enough that I couldn't go to friends' homes.
Oh, that's hard. We hear about that. And we do hear about that with patients. That's so sad.
Yeah. And I mean, so I know it and I remember it. And I remember I think I was 8 or 9. And I watched a movie. Oh, who's the guy from House on the Prairie? Little House on the Prairie. What's
the dad?
The dad.
Landon something. Because that's my brother's name. Yeah, so that's why I know.
Well, Nate, what's his name? It's Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
Okay, so the story about Michael Landon, and I think I have this right, was that he wet the bed.
Okay.
But all the way into like junior high.
Okay.
And so what happened is that his mother was so mad when he wet the bed that she would take his sheets and post it.
Don't tell me this story.
She'd post the sheets out on the his second door story. She'd put it out the window. So he ran home every night, every day from school. To be able to beat the buses and beat
everybody—that's so sad. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's the saddest story ever.
He would pull up the sheets before that. Well, one time he got out of school late, and all of his friends saw it.
That's so sad.
Well, did you know that Michael Landon ended up becoming because of his ability to run, he became an Olympic javelin thrower.
No, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true. Look up Michael Landon javelin. Maybe I've got it all mixed up, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was.
So he did House on the Prairie and was an Olympian?
And a writer. He did all these things.
Wow.
But the reason he didn't cut his hair is because he had the theory of the Samson, and that it would take away his powers. Next javelin threw it. Yeah. In the United States that year. So, yeah, he almost went to the Olympics.
Okay.
Yeah,
but so when he was young.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I just think it's really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor guy, though. That's sad about his mom. That's really sad.
My mother wasn't like that. My parents were very cognizant of it. But I have a real soft spot in my heart for these kids that we know that if, and we have patients that we have treated, if we can get their mouths closed or sealed, and which are two different things, that within a week, they stop wetting the bed.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the cool thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's, what's happening is the body isn't struggling for oxygen.
Yeah.
And they're actually able to breathe and have the oxygen, which then... It makes it to where the bedwetting, because what all systems shut down and the urge to stop the bedwetting goes away because the brain needs oxygen.
Yeah. I have a lot of patients who, because by the time they're at that point, they've had pretty big tonsils and adenoid issues. So even with just getting those out, it seems to really, really help.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's kind of I would say it's a hot topic of something we deal with at Breathe Airway is tonsils. And I get, you know, a lot of people want to keep them in.
So what do you say to a mom so she's got you and you notice large tonsils.
Yeah.
Child's 5 years old.
Yes.
And they've got huge tonsils. You can even see the stones within the tonsils.
They open and they go like this. They're huge. So, I mean, going off of what Dr. Zaghi's taught us, and he's an ENT, you know, if they're like a grade 3, which is still big, you could try some diet things like anti-inflammatory diet, gargling with warm salt water. Maybe you could get them to shrink a little bit, but probably not. If they're in that 3 to 4 range, 4 is when they're like that obvious.
Yeah. And they're almost touching.
You know what? They're not being useful anymore. They're scarred over. Those crypts that filter out bacteria and meant to be that lymphoid immune tissue, it doesn't work. It's think of it as a scarred over ball and now it doesn't function. And it's just back there kind of as a suffocation
and it really
issue.
Is.
Yeah. It really, really is. And so we have people that want to go through expansion and do all these things and we tell them, don't do it.
Not until this.
Oh, we can do expansion on you, but this will not solve the problem and save you from having tonsils taken out.
You're going to expand and the tonsils are only going to be bigger.
there, it's not going to change him at that point.
Right.
So it's not, you will not be able to nasal breathe because those things are just going to occlude your airway. They're too big. They're not going away. And we get that quite often where we have people come in, they want to do all this treatment to avoid having a tonsillectomy. And we have to tell them, you know, we'll straight up tell them, no, I don't think Mayo's not going to change that. You can do it. It'll help you during the day, but it's not going to help you at night.
Do you still have your tonsils?
No, I had mine taken out.
When?
I was probably 5. I was pretty young.
So I was late 40s.
Oh, wow. That is late.
I was late. I had really, so I had a unilateral tonsil that grew and the other one didn't.
Oh.
So I went in, Dr. Gardner here, he evaluated it. And I was getting these tonsil stones that stunk and yeah, I was yeah. like gross and everything. So I went in to go see him and he looked at it and he said, I would definitely have that removed because when it's unilateral and it's only one has grown and the other one hasn't, yeah. it's 1 out of 100 become cancerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, those odds aren't great.
No, it's not great.
And then he's like, yeah, let's remove it. So I did something interesting because of all of the PRF that we were doing, he was awesome. And so I doubt that most people can do what I was able to do, but I used PRP, which is we spun the blood. My wife is the one who she was so nervous. I made her do it at 5 a.m. to come in, draw my blood. I took it to him.
Yeah.
And then he did the tonsillectomy and then he put it on my
That's
tonsils.
Great. Yeah.
And he goes, you know, the research doesn't show that this is really works that great. I never took any pain medication.
Wow.
0. Well, I'm kind of anti-pain medication anyways.
Right.
I was picking up my kids from school the same day that I had the tonsillectomy. I went to work 3 days later.
Wow.
And I really didn't have that much of a problem. I don't know if it was that or just he was really good.
It's hard to know sometimes, but it doesn't hurt anything.
No, and I was so glad I got them out. And
yeah.
for me, it was the right choice. I think at one point in history, we were taking too many tonsils out. I think now, I think it's very well evaluated and you just need to get a good ENT. We had a problem with one of my sons, Justin. He has... 22q, as you know, genetic disorder, and we took him to have his tonsils removed when he was really young at a local hospital. They were going to remove his tonsils and his adenoids, which they did, and it ended up being a horrible scenario. His carotid artery actually is on the opposite side of most people, and
okay.
it almost nicked it. When they removed the adenoids, it was what was giving him an ability to be able to speak. And once they removed it, he could not speak as well. And it was kind of nasally.
Yeah.
And so we had to go through 2 subsequent surgeries to fix it.
Oh, wow.
So 2 things. Number one, what I would say to individuals is make sure you go to, if you have any questions, like with any surgery, and you don't feel 100%, get a second opinion.
Always, with everything.
Yeah. And we have great providers. Just make sure and go to a great provider.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only thing that I would say is make sure that they understand what they have to do. But yeah, we had to go through 2 subsequent surgeries on his throat to fix the problem that was created by it. Well, any other things that are happening at Breathe Airway right now?
Really nothing new or out of the ordinary. Everything is, we see lots of infants, we see lots of kids, adults.
So the infant, the everyone's infant
in a
tongue
different
tie,
place.
What, at one point we started seeing a little bit of it. It goes like this, right?
Oh yeah. Always.
I think
kind of with everything, but
I think we did the numbers. I think there's something like 2,600 infants born. What was it? A month? I don't know. There's a lot of infants born in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of infants. If you look at the numbers, 1/3 of those are going to have tongue tie problems.
I would say it's probably more than that. Just have some sort of feeding issue, body tension, honestly, probably every single one could benefit from.
Okay, so you're going through baby number two.
Yeah.
What are you going to do different baby number two than you did even with baby number one with all the knowledge that you have?
Nothing different. So I'm going to go do another consult before I have the baby, get a little refresher course on, you know, when the milk, just the little things, right? And this is all just to...
When will you have your baby evaluated, though, from a lactation specialist?
On day three.
So yeah, that's already set up.
As soon as I get home from the hospital. Not set up yet, but that's what I'm doing. Idea. Yes, and that's what I did last time. It made me feel good. We do a weighted feed. They assess how he's actually feeding. Are we okay? Are we not okay? And then I'll go to lactation. Thank goodness I have so many providers. Like, I have people who are willing to come see me. Like, we have a lot of really good providers.
Well, we have a lot of great providers here just locally.
We do in the Valley. They're really great. So I'll see lactation for probably the first couple weeks unless we have an issue. And then we just keep going. We'll start right away with doing cranial sacral therapy and chiropractic work as well.
Did you do that on Wilder?
Yep.
You saw a difference?
Well, we had so many issues. Yeah. And he had a lot of body tension. So I knew body work was the number one thing that we were going to have to work on for him. I was not convinced he had a tongue tie right off the bat. So I knew we needed to get the body work in first and then assess that. So, you know, depending on what this one looks like, I released Wilder at 3 weeks. I wouldn't have changed it. I wouldn't have done it any differently. I wouldn't have released him earlier. I think it worked out how it should. Sure. Should have worked out. So we'll just have to see. But the things that I'm doing that I would recommend anyone to do, even when you don't know what your baby's going to be struggling with, is I think babies do need body work after they're born. It makes sense, right? You've been mm-hmm. balled up. And you go through birth, which is a lot. And it's...
For both of you.
For both of you, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did some body work on myself as well. But I've heard stories of moms just saying, you know, they meet with these body workers and that their babies just melt in their hands. And I mean, it's really great. So, you know, I have a really good team set up. So I wouldn't do anything different.
Good.
Yeah.
What did you see with Wilder from, I mean, just the progression that he's had? Does he sleep pretty good now?
Yeah, he's always been a very short sleeper. He's never, you know, we struggled with naps and to really get on a routine schedule, but he's pretty good now. And his normal, he just wakes up early. He's just an early morning kid. So, but I mean, overall, he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Are you a morning person?
Yeah, I'm an all the time person. It doesn't matter. Morning, night, like I am awake when I need to be awake at all times. And I sleep terrible pregnant. I can't breathe through my nose at all my whole pregnancy. So even just to close right now and breathe would be very hard for me.
That
would
give you anxiety?
No, I actually cannot breathe.
You can't.
No. So I could not do our lip seal, hold for 3 minutes. Like, I can't. I can't breathe. So I had the same thing with Wilder. I get really bad pregnancy congestion.
Doctor, treat thyself.
Well, I do know I have some structural issues. I've already had Dr. Zaghi look at them. And when I'm not pregnant or breastfeeding, I'd love to get them fixed. But when you're pregnant, you can get pregnancy congestion. And I had that with Wilder. I have it this time. And I'm just very stuffy. And so when, you know, after I had Wilder, it went away. And I slept so much better. Even though I was sleeping, you know, waking up more frequently, but I had much better quality of sleep. So I don't sleep terrible, but, you know.
You haven't slept great for some time.
It isn't the best night's sleep when you're congested.
Have you always, is it a restless sleep? Like, do you move a lot in your sleep?
Well, being pregnant, you know, I switch sides.
Oh, yeah.
All night. I'm back and forth. When I'm not pregnant, no, I sleep well.
Okay.
Yeah. Just being pregnant, I have to rotate quite a bit.
I've had issues with sleep. My biggest issue was when I had some shoulder issues from going on pack trips and then the mules stretching me. I didn't think there was a problem. Yeah. I started having issues afterwards and I went and had my shoulders MRI'd. And both my shoulders, I have torn labrums.
Oh.
And they go, you could do surgery, but pretty much if I work out and keep the muscle strong around it, I don't have issues.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that has helped. We went and got a brand new bed and they said, okay, this mattress is going to get a lot softer. I had horrible sleep. I could not sleep on this very expensive mattress. And I was just like,
because it was too soft?
No, it was too hard.
Oh, too hard. I can't sleep on hard mattresses. I need a soft mattress.
Yeah, that's me. And so we were able to turn it back in and get the plush version. I can't believe the difference of how just even a mattress and the difference of what that can do.
Yeah.
And it really did. It does an amazing job of getting a high quality, good mattress. But for me, I've got to have soft. Right. My wife likes a little more hard mattress.
Uh-huh.
But even her, it was like, okay, that's too much.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so many different things that can be done with sleep. But now I think we truly are understanding the importance of sleep.
Yeah.
And
people are talking about it.
Finally.
You should be asking it at, you know, a medical exam. It should be a huge part of your intake, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For your overall wellness exam. How do you sleep? You know, lots of different factors come into, again, is it because your partner is snoring all night that you don't sleep well? Or, you know, there's lots of different things, but it is neat that people are paying attention to, hey, like this could be a thing that is impacting me this way. And maybe I, you know, sometimes it's quick, easy fixes. Sometimes it's just better sleep hygiene and adjusting your screen time or little things like that could make a big difference.
I can't remember where I read it, or maybe it was it was some professional said, if you really think about it, every time we go to sleep and we wake up, it truly is a reset of our entire life.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, and what a gift sleep is.
Yeah.
And if we look at that, I mean, I know a lot of individuals that wish if they could take a pill and not have to sleep, they would do it.
Yeah.
But I think God made us pretty dang good in the fact that every time we go to sleep, we go through this reset. And it's a reset of a new day, a new beginning that we can have in our lives, which I think is fabulous.
Yeah, I agree. And I did not grow up with that. That's something else, like, right, the way you grow up with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is a wildlife artist, and his time to work where he felt his best was all night long. And my parents were always up all night long. All through school. We were up all night. We did not go to bed. And my friends would tease, they're like, you know, because toilet papering was a big deal back then.
Yeah.
They're like, we can never toilet paper house because the lights are always on. Everyone's always like up, like it's middle of the day. And so my sister's like that. She'll work all night long. She'll do her, she's very creative too. They have a really bad habit of working and doing things during the night. I was also that same way. I absolutely loved before dental school, I have never slept the night before an exam.
What?
Ever.
You'd never. Stay up all night?
Stay up all night. Sometimes I would study or I'd kind of take breaks and watch TV. But I don't know if I just had too much anxiety or that was, you know, I think maybe watching my parents, like my dad would get ready for these art shows and stuff and he's up all night. And that was my thing. Even if I didn't go to, you know, even if I wasn't cramming, but I would go over material and then I'd take breaks and.
Were you able
and
to?
And sometimes I'd cook.
Thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
see, it was nuts.
Oh,
it was nuts. I couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
Like it would catch up with me, right? I could do that when I was younger, right? And then I could sleep for a couple days or, you know, you have time to crash versus now, there's no way I could do that.
Okay, this is funny.
But that's a horrible habit.
It's horrible.
But taken from my parents that worked all night.
Okay, I got to tell you brought something that I think is very interesting. And people are going to go, there's no way. My dad came from a very poor upbringing. There was 10 kids in his family. He grew up in a place called St. David, Arizona, which is south of Tucson. He grew up on this farm. There was 6 boys, 4 girls. The 6 boys lived in a railroad car. The 4 girls lived in an adobe house. And he had a total, what did he tell me? All the way through, in high school, he had a total of 3 shirts. He never wore shoes until high school. He never wore shoes.
Wow.
That's just, that he was like the Huck Finn.
Yeah.
So he really grew up in the Depression area.
Yeah.
And so they used everything. Now, You talk about getting teepeed. Yeah, there was a big deal when I was a kid. And so he loved when we got teepeed.
Of course.
You know why?
He could save it.
He saved
and
it.
Keep and put it.
Okay, so I remember.
Just free toilet paper.
It was free.
Yeah.
And he would put it in big trash bags.
Uh-huh.
And they'd put it in all of the bathrooms. And that's the toilet paper we had to use.
I'm not surprised.
That's the way my dad was he would utilize
everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And you grow up with those habits.
You know, and
you probably take in and do more stuff than you even recognize.
You're probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't do that. Okay. I got to tell you that I can't believe I'm going to talk about this, but I think it's interesting. When I was in China, I went to they call it a 7-star hotel. And you walk in and to the bathroom, and it's almost like it greets you because the lid comes up.
Oh, yeah.
It turns on this heater.
How nice.
You sit on it. It's heated seat. You do your business. And then it said spray. And so I'm like, okay. It was in English. So I hit it, and all of a sudden, it's a bidet. It comes on. And it's like this massage thing that's happening. And then it dryer. And then dries you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I thought that was pretty cool. Well, we just moved into this new house, and my wife found this same toilet at Costco. And we end up buying this expensive toilet, put it in our main bathroom. Okay. I'm sold. It is. For the last.
I've never tried one.
For the last month. Don't do it if you don't want it, because it is amazing. It really is.
I don't feel like as crazy as it sounds, I don't have patience to sit that long.
Okay. First of all, I do, because I'm usually reading something.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is the difference, right? Like, I go to the bathroom, like, John, wash the baby for like a second.
And then
I have 30 seconds and I'm back. And then I'm like, okay, what's happening in there? The door's been shut for 20, 30 minutes.
Because that's like the best reading spot in the house. You're all by yourself. Leave me alone. I'm on my iPad or something. I'm doing something.
I let Wilder crawl to the door and bang on it half the time because he knows he's in there and he can hear him. I'm like, I know you're on your phone. I know you're just sitting scrolling. So.
Well, maybe it's for John then.
No, we're not getting one of those.
Anyways, I thought I loved it. It's amazing. That's the future of toiletry.
Okay.
No toilet paper needed.
That would be nice.
It's kind of nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah. And you're very, very squeaky clean when you're done. Well, Dr. Todd, it's always good.
Yeah.
Any other issues that are happening, going on in your life? Oh, I got one thing that's happening. You're going to the ranch.
Yeah.
Tell us about the ranch.
We're going over to Geneva. Should be nice. We took Wilder over there a couple weeks ago, and it was super fun. First time he, saw a cow. First time he saw like a butterfly, we took him hiking.
I bet that was pretty awesome.
It was fun. It's fun watching him experience.
Your ranch is incredible.
See the world.
So John, your better half, you're not your better half, your significant other, because you're the better half. Sure. So he was telling me that they had put some horses on it.
Uh-huh.
And a mountain lion attacked one.
Yes, which is crazy because we were just asking Logan's kids who manage the horses. We're like, do mountain lions ever come? Like, no. And yeah, one got attacked and the
Poured
mom
up pretty
mom,
bad.
The
right?
mom stepped in. I'm sure it was attacking the colt, and mom stepped in. like we would.
Yeah, and took on the mountain lion.
Took on that mountain lion and kicked its butt.
Yeah, and made, but it got tore up in the process.
Yeah.
Oh boy. And so, and now you're going to go elk hunting on that, near that mountain lion.
Thanks a lot, Lon. I didn't even think about that. Maybe we won't go.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we'll stay inside.
Oh no, you won't. You still will go. Well, again,
we're doing family pictures up there. So we'll see. You? Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck. Safe travels.
Thanks, Lon.
Till next time.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.